From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
This was maybe 2 months ago when I was saying, there's no way Russ Westbrook's not going to win the MVP. Guess who the favorite is now? Your man, James Harden.
I'm not surprised at that. I mean,
what number would you expect to see on James Harden right now?
I'm guessing he's kind of a tepid favorite, so I'm going to say 3-1.
What if I told you he was minus 110?
You're kidding me.
The problems we have at Baylor are no different than the problems at any other school in America.
Actually, Kim, you're wrong. And the reason it's not going away is because Baylor's still not being forthcoming with this. Do you really think Kim Mulkey was at all the meetings about the case? Like, you know, should we release these documents? No. Kim Mulkey's not involved in that. She probably gets the memos when they're sent out to the staff. That's about her involvement, would be my guess.
But here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, all available at podcastarena.com. Let's go check it out. A lot of Kim Mulkey stuff, a little Harden stuff, a little bit of everything. A lot of steak stuff today, a lot of food, just a little bit of everything. Having a fun show.
I'm super hungry now, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I am too, and I was thinking of texting the wife and saying, hey man, let's go out and eat somewhere tonight, but she already had stuff planned.
No.
But, did you see who might be an actual candidate to replace Mike Francesa?
No.
I've been trying to get to this for like 3 days, and it just never has, we've never had a chance for it to come up.
Is it me?
It's Chris Christie.
What's he going to replace him doing?
Doing the show. He's a candidate to do it. Apparently, he's co-hosted Boomer and Carton a bunch of times. He's had to defend to callers the amount of time he spends on the air.
Yeah.
Well, you should be kind of running your government, but that's okay.
He's still the governor, right?
Yeah.
When's his term up?
Well, it sounds like it's not going to last much longer. Regardless, but
his term ends January of 2018.
So I guess that's when he'd start.
And there's almost no chance he'll live that long.
No.
Yeah.
Says, as my son said, I can't believe I've been listening to you talk about sports my entire life and that someone might actually pay you to do that.
I think what's funny is, like, this dude thought he was going to be the vice president of the United States.
Yep.
And then he thought I was going to get this job, this job, this job, this job. No, I'm going to do sports radio now.
Yeah.
Hey, good luck, man.
Exactly. However you get into the business, that's your thing. I just saw that. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But
I'm sure New Jersey's running itself pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't seem to be having any problems there.
What's going on with the TV in here, Jong? This is very distracting to me.
Why? What happened?
I mean, it looks like we didn't pay our cable bill and we're still trying to watch the games.
Yeah, it's acting like there's weather problems or something. Now it's just going black.
It's been doing this the entire show. I keep looking over and it's going to give me a seizure.
I think it might be weather.
Okay.
Oh. Well, is it bad weather out there?
I mean, it's cloudy.
Yeah. I'm not
getting anything. Maybe let's change a channel. How about that?
Yeah. Isn't there some college basketball on?
I'm sure there is.
Some women's college basketball?
No, Fred.
Just for you? Let's squeeze in a phone call.
How do I change the channel if... I'll go up and down.
What do you mean?
Because I can't see anything in here either.
Oh, it's doing the same thing for you?
Ah.
When you push the guide, what happens?
Let's find out.
Okay. I think we should get that Baylor-West Virginia game going just to see if, you know... Make sure there's no rapes or murders that are going undiscussed. Yeah, see, it works fine when you do that. I think it might have just been that channel.
What channel is it on?
It's on the MLB Network or something like that.
Oh. They need to pay their bills in.
Yeah.
All right, let's as soon as he's done with this, we'll squeeze on a phone call because he has.
It's to... not a.
No, we can go to phone call.
I don't think that game's nationally televised. All right.
Well, while you're
just go with ESPN. It has Virginia, Carolina hoops.
And we'll go to Jason while John's doing that. What's up,
hey, Jason? Sports.
Sports, guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, I just want to get y'all's opinion. If the Thunder kind of go on a run here, and Westbrook gets them to the fourth seed. And he still averages a triple-double. Y'all think James Harden can still hold him off and win the MVP? I'll hang up and listen.
Man, that's tough. Now, let's take that in two parts. Do we think that the Thunder will – the Thunder haven't shown me anything that they're going to suddenly be the fourth-best team in the West. The Jazz are playing really well. That's probably my favorite to make it that far. But if – let's say, for instance, they do. For the purpose of this argument, they've got they finish one spot behind the Rockets. I think it'd be tough not to give it to them.
Yeah,
I see the argument for Harden right now because the Rockets are a clearly better team. But if the Rockets finish in the three hole and the Thunder finish in the four, and one guy averaged a triple double over the course of the season.
It's
a no brainer to me. But
I don't think they're getting to four.
I don't think so.
And then
either.
It just comes down to how good is this team, and how much better has he made them while he's doing that, and that's what it's going to come down to.
I honestly, you notice maybe people haven't noticed, but since Kevin Love got hurt, the Cavs are like 7-2 or something like that, 8-2. People don't talk enough about LeBron James being the MVP. That dude just takes the load on his back and just goes. And this isn't their best season, but
they're going to blitz through the East again.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. With or without Kevin Love, with or without Andrew Bogut, I just think they're the best.
Darren Williams is official.
Yep.
So.
And the Celtics are decent. The Wizards are solid. The Raptors they're playing better now after they looked like they were just going to fall off the face of the earth. They've kind of stabilized things. So
they need Kyle Lowry healthy. That's a problem for them. But
man, I don't look at any of those teams and think, oh yeah, I could see them beating LeBron four times. I can't picture any of them doing it. I can picture the Warriors doing it.
Yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah. 269 says, I got to hand it to you guys. I remember you asking WTF was going on at Baylor long before this became a huge story. And we took a lot of crap for that, too, because people kept saying, oh, well, you don't know. You know, like Dwayne Mulkey is saying now.
Yeah.
That
we're not in
the know. We're not in the know. But the reality is, it's turning. And AJ was really the one that started screaming about it first. But it's proven to be every bit as bad as what we thought. And, that's one of those where
I just didn't understand how that was going on and no one was making a big deal of it. Like, no one was saying, why don't we know more about this yet? And it just got to the point where it was absurd. And, I'm glad that we've gotten what we've gotten out of this, but we still don't know everything.
No.
I'm sure of that.
No.
And it's really just unacceptable to me.
And that's the thing. But it's also, that's part of the problem. Just keep covering stuff up. And J. Mark says it's insane how many minutes LeBron plays per night as well. He should still be.
I mean, it's his team. He just does it.
And Harden does too, in all fairness.
Yeah.
But, I think it's – and if they do add Bogut, that's just another good piece for them. And if I'm him, that's where I go because I think that team has a chance.
Yep. Yeah, he'd fit well there. What they've needed is a defensive presence here because they're not that good defensively. The Cavs,
no.
He could stabilize them defensively. That'd be, and honestly, I mean, listen, you're getting waived. You're asking to be waived by the Sixers because Andrew Bogut. How many years do you think he's got left? He doesn't want to spend his years playing for the Sixers. That's a miserable life. What this also does for the Cavs, assuming that they get him, What it would do for them short term is it would allow them to play Andrew Bogut at center and move Tristan Thompson to the four until Kevin Love comes back, which is, I mean, that's the ideal situation, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many minutes they're going to, I mean, I guess you'd probably still play Channing Frye some minutes at center. But that's kind of the hole right now is filling that Kevin Love gap. And that's what Andrew Bogut, because Tristan Thompson can play the four or the five, it makes him, it gives him some extra value to move over and play that spot. So, and it, just having Bogut and Tristan Thompson out there as your front court defensively, the improvement you've got over Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson is massive. Offensively, it's not much, but they don't want that from their bigs.
Just real quick, we mentioned Antonio Brown getting a new deal. Steelers also franchise tagged Le'Veon Bell. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
All right. When do you think the Hopkins deal gets done?
I think it will get done maybe during OTAs. I think once they kind of sort out, they've got to sort out. Now, the cap's going way up, too.
Yeah.
So that helps them quite a bit.
We'll talk about this on the other side. I'm curious what kind of numbers you're expecting to hear when that comes out. Like what kind of terms what we're looking at and how long DeAndre Hopkins is going to be here.
All right, we'll take a quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I'm Glenn Davis. Join me tonight for all things soccer, the world's game. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, 7 to 9 p.m.
And we are back on the Blitz. David asked me, do you think every John Oliver show for the time being will be anti-Trump themed? I love the show, but it's getting annoying. I've had to stop watching. It's
the same thing every week.
It is the same thing every week. You just find some other thing to go after Trump for. And, you know, I'm just tired. I'm tired of it. And You know, here's another thing, too, that whether or not I agree with the guy or whether or not I even like the guy, I hate that people like Rory McIlroy have to go and explain why they played a round of golf with the president of the United States and gets called a fascist and a bigot because he played. If Donald Trump invited me to play golf with him, I'd be there tomorrow. I would do it in a heartbeat.
And you're not going to do the show tomorrow?
We have
the day off. Okay.
Right. Now,
okay.
Wednesday, I wouldn't be able to do it because we have a show.
I was going to say, are you going to, like, pick him over the show? That'd be weird.
Well, regardless, I think there's a lot of shows that I just can't watch right now because that's all they are is, like, let's make Trump jokes. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's old. I mean, and to be honest, a lot of the stuff, it's not really laughing matter type of stuff.
No, it's not. But that's what it's devolved into, and so now I'm kind of out on it, and I've told my wife, it's like when he does an episode where that's not what it is, let me know and maybe I'll watch it. But otherwise, I'm kind of out on him. And I get that they had to go more mainstream, but it's too much. It's too much for me. I liked it better when he was out doing really good investigative stuff and raising the profile of things that nobody knew about. So. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. 832 says, you're tired of it because luckily it doesn't hurt you. I just think continuously bashing doesn't do any good. I find that boring. And I'm not going to waste my time with it. And the other one says most of it's low-hanging fruit and just seems lazy.
That's the part with me, because I know that dude's pretty clever.
Oh, yeah, but to me, it's kind of dumbed down the show, and that's not what it was. It was always a very clever show, but I'm kind of out on it until that stops, and if it doesn't stop, oh well. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So far, the only thing that has ticked me off about Trump is him going after the marijuana states. He needs to back off.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
That needs to be backed off on right now.
I mean, partly because the weed stuff is like acting like it's a big deal is nonsense, but also because states' rights are being infringed upon. I don't like that.
Nope. 713, maybe John Oliver should investigate Baylor University.
That's a good one.
That would be a great one for him.
Jump on that, bro.
Yeah. Get in there and dig. Bring some stuff out that we don't know about. I'd be for that, definitely.
All right. I don't want to get too much into politics anyway.
No.
I want to talk about steak temperatures and things like that.
No, I don't want to do politics either. I just also want to make it clear that I ain't watching.
Aristotle said you wouldn't. He said strong chance we are better than the Spurs and no one knows it yet. And I said I still think the Spurs would have three of the four best players on the floor. They've got a better coach and they'd have home court. And he said you wouldn't take Anderson or Gordon over Gasol, and I wouldn't. I mean, he says, Fred, chime in, please. Talk some sense into your co-host. Gasol is washed. If you're telling me Gasol is washed up, you're not watching the Spurs play. Gasol's still a solid defender. He's an excellent rebounder. He's still a decent scorer when they ask him to score, which they don't as much now because he shares the post with Aldridge. And he's honestly a better passer than both Gordon or Anderson. Gordon and Anderson are good because they fit what the Rockets are doing. Gordon Anderson on a team that doesn't run this type of offense are the same Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson you've seen the rest of their careers. They are scrubby guys, just guys. Pau Gasol hasn't lost a whole lot. Is he Lakers-era Gasol? Probably not. But if you would really take Ryan Anderson over Pau Gasol, you don't have a future as a GM. I hate to break it.
Well, as far as me weighing in on this, I honestly, it's speculating on a potential second round playoff matchup at this stage and how it might look when there's still plenty of time left in the season for players to get hurt and for teams to go into slumps. It doesn't interest me. I think the Rockets can beat the Spurs, but I don't know if the Rockets are going to get there. I don't know if the Spurs are going to get there. I need to see what their first round matchups are. And, you know, that's so. And I don't know how the Rockets are going to translate to the playoffs.
That's what
I don't know how the Spurs are going to translate to the playoffs either.
I trust I'll trust a Popovich team over a
D'Antoni team, certainly,
in the playoffs, but, for sure.
But I don't know that they're the same type of Spurs that they've been in the past. But yeah, I just, as far as what the Rockets do, I think they've put together the kind of team they wanted, which is a team that doesn't play defense and scores a lot of points. And those guys fit what they want to do, and that's all fine and dandy. But, yeah, I'm not ready to start speculating on a series that may or may not happen. I need to see what the Rockets look like in the first round of the playoffs. I know everybody wants to have this. Everybody wants you to have this opinion about something that's going to happen 2 months from now. But the reality is, need a little more research. 713-780-ESPN. Looks like that Sam Decker's interested in playing some more small forward now, which there's room for that with Brewer gone.
Yep.
And although I think when they're going with the smaller lineup, he'll play four and they'll use the three guard lineup, but which tough to match up with. But man, they're going to have to just outscore teams. That's what they do. It's fun to watch. As long as you know, if you like defense, it's not fun. But I don't really like defense. I'm an offense guy. I always have been.
I like it in the playoffs.
Well, I like being able to score in the playoffs, and that's what concerns me. Guess who might get released from prison?
Daddy Juice.
Daddy Juice.
It's coming up, bro. Parole time.
Indeed. He basically, he's eligible for parole on October 1st, and he could be released after serving 9 years of a 33-year sentence. And when he gets out, guess what he's going to have? Pretty decent chunk of money waiting for him.
Oh, he's got his pension, huh?
Yeah, he's accrued $2.7 million in retirement benefits from his days of playing for the Buffalo Bills and San Francisco 49ers. Though he still owes much of the $33.5 million he was ordered to pay when he was found civilly liable of the murders of Nicole Brown and Goldman, laws state that pension money cannot be collected by creditors.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Needs a little.
He'll probably get a movie deal when he gets out, too.
Oh, he should. Listen, anything OJ is, it's ratings gold. It's it's critically acclaimed. We need more OJ stuff.
OJ telling his own story to Oprah.
How about
this? Get $10 million
for that. OJ sits down with the Kardashian girls for an in-depth interview. Imagine the ratings. You can't, can you?
No, I can't even consider it.
Phenomenal. Tremendous ratings.
Yeah, tremendous.
Be huge. What'd you say, John?
He was just telling me what I have to read here. Which
on the other side, I've got a list ranking and grading the new college football coaching hires of 2017.
Okay.
You want to play with that a little?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. And I'll tell you what else, and I enjoy playing a little bit, and that's betting on the ponies. And you know what? One place to do it, usracing.com. In fact, that's what I did today, sitting around the house, playing a little Sam Houston, and playing some of the other tracks today. US Racing features award-winning race analysis, interviews, and free handicapping tips. So they've got all kinds of cool stuff. You can also bet on over 200 tracks from your computer, tablets, and your phone. And I'm telling you, the mobile is so easy to work with. They offer daily rebates. You're going to get back as much as 8% on what you bet. And the bets are safe, fun, and secure. Track odds, so you're going to get paid. You hit a big trifecta, you're going to get all your money. And new players can qualify for a $150 sign-up bonus. And I'm telling you, Visa and MasterCard, instant deposit, and the quickest payouts in the business. They have the fastest payouts of any online horse racing site. And it's not just the betting, man. They've got all kinds of information for you and excellent customer support. The customer comes first at BetUS Racing. They deliver quality service to every player. Get your blood rushing again at usracing.com or call 1-844-US-RACING now to set up your account.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Howdy, Houston. Dave South here. Sports!
Sports! Before we get to that, a couple of quick news items. Jose Calderon, waived by the Lakers, will sign with Golden State.
Oh.
Bogut officially waived by the Sixers. Apparently, he will speak to officials from the Cavaliers, Spurs, Rockets, and Celtics before choosing his next team. ESPN reported Sunday the Cavs are the favorites to land him after signing former Mavericks teammate Deron Williams.
That wouldn't surprise me.
And two Maverick sources told
the Rockets and Celtics seem like that those would surprise me. Just from a stylistic standpoint, the way they play.
Yeah,
I don't know that Bogut's the kind of guy you want, but I mean,
he'd certainly help though because he give the Rockets something they're lacking. That's for sure.
Yeah,
but if you can sign with the Cavs, I think that's your easier path. All right, so you want to grade the coaching hires?
Yeah. Let's see who this guy is. Brad Powers, who's actually from our buddy RJ's website, pregame.com.
Okay.
He said, signing day is now a month old. Most coaching staff's now fully complete. Time to rank the new head coaching hires for the upcoming season. I evaluated prior head coaching experience, familiarity with the school and surrounding recruiting area, while also taking into consideration the state of the program and realistically, who they could have hired in their current state of affairs.
Okay.
There were 21 hires on the list. The grades range from A to C. So nobody got buried on this list.
That's too bad. I kind of like lists where there's Fs.
I like that too.
Yeah.
I mean, it should all be graded relatively, like on a curve.
Right.
Where it goes from a full A plus to an F. The worst hire, it says, Tim Lester at Western Michigan. He was the all-time leading passer there, but has basically no coaching experience and was hired late in the process and is filling some pretty big shoes. So that makes sense to me. Jay Norvell, number 20, says he has solid experience as a Power 5 OC, but no prior head coach experience nor any school ties.
Okay.
Number 19, Randy Edsall at Connecticut. Says, we've never been huge fans of Edsall, who does return to the place where he was the head coach from 99 to 2010, compiling a 74-70 record. Was in over his head at Maryland for 5 years, and outside of Bill Snyder's return to Kansas State, the second stints don't usually end well. That's true.
Yeah, those usually don't work out.
And I'm surprised it's worked out so well for Tom Snyder. Number 18, Brent Brennan at San Jose. Again, no prior head coaching. but does have some ties there. He's been there for a while. Number 17, Tom Allen at Indiana, another first-time head coach, and was on the staff for 1 year as D.C. But it says, however, he was greatly responsible for the Hoosiers' massive improvements on that side of the ball last year. They allowed over 10 points per game and 129 yards less than they did in 2015, which that's good. That's a good start. Sean Elliott at Georgia State. He was the interim coach at South Carolina in 2015, 1-5.
That's not...
not great. Good. Has no ties to the school, but a longtime assistant at Appalachian State, so familiar with the region. Number 15, Jeff Collins at Temple. They gave him a B-. He had some decent defenses at Mississippi State and has been decent at Florida the last couple seasons. Good defense there. Doesn't have any school ties and doesn't have any prior head coaching experience. And Temple is coming off their best two-year stretch in school history, so he's got some work to do to keep up.
Yeah.
Number 14, Butch Davis at Florida International. Says, we originally liked this hire a lot. However, whatever recruiting edges he had in South Florida were negated by strong hires by UCF and Florida Atlantic. Davis was a proven winner at Miami and North Carolina, but NCAA baggage and hasn't coached since 2010.
See, I like that hire, though, at a school like that.
I do, too. That's about
as
nothing
good
to lose.
Yeah, that's about as good as you're going to get.
Number 13, Major Applewhite. Says, Applewhite obviously had a lot of ties to the state of Texas after being a quarterback and OC for the Longhorns. Familiar with the Houston personnel after being the OC here the last 2 years, but has no prior head coaching experience and has some big shoes to fill.
Okay.
They gave him a B- as well, by the way. I'll hustle through a couple of these. Justin Wilcox at Cal, another no prior head coaching experience. Number 11, speaking of Cal, Jeff Tedford at Fresno, which is his alma mater, was really good at Cal, then got really bad at Cal.
I don't like that hire.
Number 10, well, for Fresno, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad hire for that school. He clearly was no longer working at Cal.
But I don't think he's going to do a good job there. And I don't like what he's done since in the NFL. But
Number 10, Luke Fickell at Cincinnati.
I like that hire.
I kind of like it, too. He was the interim coach at Ohio State for a while and made some really good hires, including former Kentucky head coach Joker Phillips.
Yeah, I like that hire.
Number 9, Ed Orgeron. Says, the general consensus is the Tigers settled for Orgeron, who had a failed stint as the Ole Miss head coach in 2005-07, but was a combined 14-4 as an interim at USC and here last year. He made an outstanding hire in Matt Canada and kept DC Dave Aranda on staff. Grade B.
I don't mind the hire. I think if he, especially since he went out and got a real OC, if he just recruits and stays out of the way and lets those guys do their job, yeah, I think he'll do well there.
Matt Rule at Baylor says he could be the best coach on this list, but all of experience was on the East Coast, and this isn't the easiest place to sell right now on the recruiting front.
Well, and it's hard to come coach in Texas if you don't have ties to the to the state.
Number 7, Mike Sanford at Western Kentucky. The youngest coach in the FBS, but viewed as a rising star by many in the industry. Number 6, Willie Taggart. They gave him a B+. Number 5, Tom Herman, Texas. Says, while most view this as a home run hire for Texas, we're a bit more cautious. Obviously, Herman was very successful as OC at Ohio State and has in-state ties. Did a remarkable job at Houston in 2015, leading the Cougs to a 13-1 record. But despite wins over Oklahoma and Louisville last year, we felt Houston underachieved a bit. Still, this was a very good hire. B+. Now we get into the A levels, Fred.
Okay. I'm curious if there's four hires they like better than that.
You're going to hate this one.
Okay.
Florida Atlantic, Lane Kiffin.
Oh, God, that's an F. Lane Kiffin's a joke.
Some in the media have panned this hire, but call us huge fans of the move. FAU gets an experienced Power 5 head coach and one of the best play callers in the game. Sure, Kiffin is a PR gamble, but he's already signed the best recruiting class in Conference USA and inherits a very experienced team.
Nah, he sucks. He should not be ahead of Tom Herman.
Number 3, PJ Fleck at Minnesota. Obviously, everybody knows what he did at Western Michigan the last few years.
Especially getting him late in the game. I'm okay with that. I wouldn't put him ahead of Herman.
He's a really good recruiter, and he inherits a solid program in the much softer Big Ten West division, which that's a fact.
Yeah.
Number 2, And both Kiffin and Fleck were both A-minuses. The last two were both A's. Number two, Charles Strong. Says, while Strong had three unremarkable seasons in Austin, he's got great ties to the state after serving on the Florida staff from 03 to 09. Compiled a 37-15 record at the head coaches at Louisville and is known as an excellent recruiter. The hire was about as good as it gets for a Group of Five program.
I think that's fair. I still wonder if his whole career wasn't just Teddy Bridgewater.
It could be. But I do agree with what they say about it. If you're a Group of Five school, that's about...
Absolutely, and that's a good fit. I think he'll do well there. Don't have a problem with him being that
and
high on the
number
list.
One, Jeff Brohm, Purdue.
Agree 100% on that one.
Boilers trying to get back to their winning ways of the offensively successful Joe Tiller era. Brohm was an ultra successful 30-10 the last 3 years at Western Kentucky and is known for his high-powered offenses. He added some really good assistants, and we think Purdue hit a home run here. I agree with you and with this guy that Jeff Brohm. I don't know if I would have made that the number one, but I think he's close.
I think he'd be one. I'd have Herman two, Strong three in my rankings.
Okay.
Beyond that,
I think Willie Taggart may be a little low on this list.
Willie Taggart should be up there. And I like Mark Rhule. I wonder how he's going to do with Baylor. I think he's a good coach. But, Lane Kiffin, give me a break. I bet Eddie Orgeron turns out to be better than maybe we thought, too.
He's at a spot where they do a lot more winning than losing. So, if I had to bet on somebody, that's probably a good one to bet on.
Yep. Especially, like I said, I love the OC hire. Now, of course, they got to get a quarterback.
Because even when they're not successful by LSU standards, they're still pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, he can recruit too. That's what he's always been known for. So that's an intriguing one, and I think I might have Luke Fickell higher on that list too.
All right, guys. Raising Cane's, they serve only fresh, never frozen, premium chicken tenderloins that have been marinated for 24 hours, hand battered and cooked to order. What are you planning on eating tonight? How about stop by a Raising Cane's? They've got 24 Cane's in the Houston metro area now. You can visit RaisingCane's.com to find the nearest one. And chicken is what they care about. That's it. These chicken fingers is what they care about. That's their one love. Now, don't get me wrong. You still get the crinkle-cut fries. You get the great Cane sauce that's amazing. But they've got the best stuff, and it's cooked to order as soon as you walk in the door. And right now, extra bonus for going to Cane's. You could win $100,000 playing the Raising Cane's Peel the Love game. 1 in 3 wins Raising Cane's food instantly during the game. And somebody's going to win 100K by spelling out the letter C-A-N-E-S. Your cup's a 1 in 3 chance to win there. Guys, like I said, 24 Cane's in the Houston area now. Visit RaisingCane's.com to find the nearest one to you and jump on that tonight. Raising Cane's, one love.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz.
I can't even believe what I'm seeing here.
I can't believe what
we can't talk about it, but I...
No, we can't.
But, no. Jung. Turns out I stopped the video too soon. It wasn't over. It wasn't over.
Oh, my God. That's
kept going?
It kept going.
I have no words. Let's just do the dumbass report.
Jeez.
I wish we could talk about that.
But. I feel like nothing I say now is going to compare to what I just saw. But I guess we can do our best. Okay. My goodness. I'm sorry.
It's your fault for bringing that to the show.
Yeah. So, something for you, Fred. I thought you would like this. And they're not robots just yet. But now in Europe, there is a brothel that allows you to have sex with hyper-realistic silicone dolls.
That's not quite what I'm looking for. I want a robot.
That's what it looks like.
I mean, it's interesting.
It's pretty good.
Interesting.
You get, first of all, this is the part that bothers me. They've got four dolls in this place.
Okay, that's, you know, that's a lot of them getting passed around there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're sharing with a lot of people.
And what if it was that guy we just saw?
Yeah. by the way, there's four. These are the four dolls. I figured you would like her.
Yeah, I like the blue hair.
The Asian persuasion.
Yeah, blue hair Asian.
The dolls are individually crafted from thermoplastic elastomer to be unique. They have three orifices and flexible limbs. And they've proven to be such a big hit in Japan and China, especially with husbands working away from home who want to avoid being unfaithful.
Yeah.
But this is the first one to open in Europe. They've got four dolls. Lily, who has Asian features. The blonde and big-boobed Katie, who has pouty lips and piercing turquoise eyes. A, quote, African doll named Leza. And Aki, who with blue hair appears to be modeled on Japanese anime.
That's right up my
alley. Yeah, I figured that was your go-to.
Absolutely.
But each of the girls, it's how much is 80 pounds, Jong, in money?
I'll look that up.
I'm going to guess it's like $110.
I think every dollar of that
$99.46.
Every dollar of that should go to whoever's job it is to clean those out.
Yeah.
Because that is a thankless job, I would guess. That's not a job that I'd be looking for. But somebody's got to do it.
Maybe they have some kind of sanitary machine that insta cleans right after.
Like, I guess on Westworld, right?
Yeah.
God, I can't get that video out of my head.
Dude, I'm telling you, when you see this after the break, it's going to blow your mind.
Never mind.
Just stop talking about it.
Yeah.
In the first.
Yeah. Listen, it's not something that you can explain even.
It's no, and it's only going to get us in trouble.
Yeah, so pretty much. There's no good way to end that. Well.
Just move on to your next story.
You see what I did
next
there?
Next story. Yeah, I see what you did there.
A man in Jacksonville, Florida. Oh, excuse me, Fort Myers, Florida. The story's out of Jacksonville. Fort Myers was where the crime was. A Florida homeowner was able to protect his home and his belongings, mostly because he is a jiu-jitsu master. Basically caught the burglar and locked him in, basically held him down with his jiu-jitsu training. He said his wrestling and jiu-jitsu training was able to hold him down. He said Ortiz entered his open garage and was holding Birch's jackhammer and air gun cases when he approached him.
Jackhammer.
It goes back to the last story. The son of a gun.
Yeah, everything goes
everything
back to that.
For the rest of our lives is going to go back.
Every time it rains, you're going to see that.
Did he paint the walls or something?
Getting dangerously close now. God.
I've got other.
I think we just need to pull out on this show.
Let's just do that. I've got other ones.
I'm ready.
A naked woman who decided to go for a run with the local high school track team.
While naked. Cool. Like it?
Not. You wouldn't if you saw the mugshot. Okay. She lost by taser.
No.
I'm surprised. I'm sure she didn't see that coming.
Yeah. I'm not sure what she thought was going to happen. But anyway, that's
the second most impressive shot we've seen.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. Great job, Jong Lee. Great job, AJ.
Everything's
Hoffman.
Coming second to that.
Yeah. And third and fourth.
And sorry, we can't post what we saw on Facebook or Twitter or anything.
We shall never speak of this again.
No.
We're off tomorrow. There will be a show, though, for an hour.
I'll be here.
Jong will be here. Okay. And back on Wednesday. Till then, stay sporty, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.